He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Thank you, and welcome to worship this morning. Welcome to First Covenant Church. We're happy to have you here. The flowers in the sanctuary, the live flowers, I should say, at the altar here are in memory of several individuals that are no longer with us. So this morning we're remembering Bob Brandstrom, Ivor and Lil Brandstrom, Barb's dad and sister, Timothy Johnston, Lloyd and Muriel Stanaway, and our son Stephen. I didn't know that was going to happen. Announcements this morning. A couple of things. We're not inviting you to coffee and fellowship this morning. We know that usually people have plans with friends and family and want to get on with their day. But I hope that you are able to celebrate and remember the day. Remember what the day is for. This week on Tuesday, April 2nd, the ladies' lunch will be at the Little Gourmet Deli. Next week, when we gather together again, Dan Trisman will be here. We'll be celebrating communion. And it didn't quite make it into your bulletin, but next week the adults are going to begin having a seven-week study during coffee time, and we're going to utilize the prayer week material that the covenant provides. So there are 7 weeks between the first Sunday after Easter and Memorial Day, when we typically take a break for the summer, so that fits in there perfectly. So if you're interested, we'll have copies of that prayer week material, and we invite you to join us. On Saturday, April 27th, there's going to be a very unique, I think, opportunity. It's a community Seder Passover meal, and it's an opportunity to study and learn all the aspects of the Seder meal. And that will be held at 4 p.m. at the Mountain Iron Community Center, and you're invited to participate in that. And on Sunday the 28th is our quarterly business meeting for the congregation, and you are all invited to that as well. I believe those are the announcements. If you would stand with me and read responsibly the call to worship. For since we believe that Jesus died and was raised to life again,
we also believe that when Jesus returns, God will bring back with him the believers who have died.
For this is how God loved the world.
He gave his one and only Son,
so that everyone who believes in him
will not perish, but have eternal life.
Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Remain standing for hymn number 260, The Day of Resurrection. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for gathering us together this morning to celebrate the death and resurrection of your Son. That miracle occurred when Jesus was born in Bethlehem. He grew, he learned, he lived and developed relationships, and began a ministry when he was an adult to lead people towards you. And we pray, dear Heavenly Father, that he willingly sacrificed his life to save us from our sins. And we pray, dear Heavenly Father, that today especially that would be first and foremost on our minds as we worship you. In your name we pray, amen. You may be seated.
Our first lesson is from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 11. It can be found on page 877 in your pew Bible. Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you were taken by your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of those brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, and then to all the apostles. And last of all, he appeared to me also as to one abnormally born. For I am the least of the apostles, and do not deserve to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Whether then it was I or they, this is what we preached, and this is what you believe. The second reading is from John chapter 20, verses 1 through 18. And that can be found on 828 in your pew Bible. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciples, the ones Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciples started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked at the strips of linen laying there, but did not go in. When Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived, he went into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the other linen. Finally, the other disciples, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside and saw and believed. They still did not understand from the scriptures that Jesus had been raised from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes, but Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look in the tomb, and she saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not recognize or realize it was Jesus. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was a gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you put him, and I will get him." Jesus said, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I have returned to my Father and your Father and my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news. "I have seen the Lord," she said, and told them what he had said, these things to her. So ends the reading of God's word.
Before I forget, I want to remind you that in the foyer, the Covenant Park newsletter is available, as well as the Covenant Home Altar, which begins tomorrow for April, May, and June. I'll ask the usher to come forward, please. So then, my friends, because of God's great mercy to us, I appeal to you. Offer yourselves as a living sacrifice to God, dedicated to his service and pleasing to him. This is the true worship that you should offer. Amen. For hymn number 245, "Lo, in the Grave He Lay." This is like my favorite. I've been singing it for over 60 years, since I was a little girl at the Presbyterian Church in Mount Iron. Love this song.
Waiting the coming day.
As we prepare for our morning prayer this morning, are there any prayer requests or words of praise that anyone would like to share? Mike?
Understand Mary's struggling.
Very good. Thank you. Mary Nelson? Okay, let's pray this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, again we thank you for the privilege and the ability to gather together to worship you and to share your love with those people closest to us, near and far. And we pray, dear Heavenly Father, for all of our friends and neighbors. We pray for their physical, mental, and spiritual needs. We pray for those who are experiencing illness or loss. We pray for Greg Barnes' family, having lost Greg a week or so ago and then celebrated his life together on Friday. He had an influence among so many people, and you could see that in the attendance and the words shared and the videos and the music and everything. Greg made his life count for you. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray for the people that serve you across the world, particularly this morning our missionaries, Evans and Karina Paul, who are currently serving in Haiti. We pray that you would keep them safe, Lord, and show them a direction that you would have them go. We pray for people who serve in the military, Lord. We thank you for their service in keeping us safe and for our area public service personnel. Law enforcement, healthcare people, we thank you, Lord, for all of their services, and we pray for them and their families this morning. We pray, dear Heavenly Father, for our nation, for our leaders, Lord. We pray for guidance that they would make appropriate decisions. We pray for people worldwide, Lord, that are experiencing so many different disasters, war, famine, natural disasters. We pray, dear Heavenly Father, that you would have your hand in all of those areas and that you would guide people and show them the direction you would have them go. We know, Lord, that there was no one in power that you didn't place there, and we are grateful that you are using them in such a way. Thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for each of the individuals here, Lord. We pray for everybody that has gathered together. We thank you for their steadfastness, for their love, for their example, and their relationship with you. We pray, Lord, for those people experiencing illness. We pray for Mary this morning and for Bob as he helps take care of her. We hope that you would have your healing hand on them. We pray, dear Heavenly Father, for Tracy and her surgery this week. We pray that you would guide the surgeons and the healthcare team so that they make the right decisions and the right choices. Thank you, dear Heavenly Father. Thank you for all of this and more. And as we prepare our hearts, Lord, for the sermon today, hear these words. O Lord of heaven and earth, the whole creation celebrates today with the rich green rug of the fields and the yellow and purple of flowers spread in irregular embroidery upon the earth. The sparkle of hope in each other's eyes today tops it all, giving praise that you never forget to fertilize your world each spring so that it promised to bear fruit and beauty again and again. But the lift in our heart that shows in our eyes arises because you renew your pledge that we shall never die. Body and soul, we shall never die, but only yearn for life and eternity with you. Accept our gratitude, great God, for raising your Son and giving us the future, open, unstained, and free. Let the children today sense that the new clothes and the special dinners with family are pointing to something more than spring. Let them sense that we are ecstatic about your dominion in the world and in heaven. And let us grown women and men have the childlike abandon to talk about it today and always as inheritors of life's greatest prize. O God, we know that death and loss are natural, but now by your extravagant grace, those heavy stones have been rolled away, and the hope of a new life is open and free. We know that there is nothing we cannot do, move mountains, vanish fear, love our enemies, change the world. Thanks be to God. And now we will hear from Mike this morning with our Easter message.
Okay, it's on. Well, I had two prayer requests that have been haunting me over the last couple of days since we found out that Bob couldn't do the sound because he's home taking care of Mary. And so we prayed for Mary. And the other prayer request is sitting right back there. You're my Easter miracle, young man. Thank you. A testimony to what our God can do. And we're going to talk a little bit about that. So I looked at the title that I had written down. So what really happened on Resurrection Sunday? And I thought, well, that's a little presumptuous. Who in the world wrote that? And then I looked at the bulletin and the title that I sent to Roger, and I went, whew, that's better. Resurrection Sunday, Above and Beyond. So let's start with what we know. Jesus, his birth, his life, his miracles, his parables, his teachings, the mysteries. Sometimes we get confused about what he was trying to say. And then, of course, this past week, his arrest, his torture, beaten beyond recognition. Some people through the years have asked me, why didn't people who saw Jesus after the resurrection know it was him? He was beaten beyond recognition. His back, of course, was totally opened up with all of the whipping that he received. But his face, as we read some of it this morning, was just brutalized. The Roman soldiers, when they were in charge of pre-crucifixion, had been given one rule: you can't break a bone, but you can do anything else you want. And we read some of that brutality. But of course, we have no idea, really, of the brutality that Jesus experienced. And then, of course, the cross. And then those last words, "It is finished." And for Jesus, those words were true. From his part, it was finished. And then, "Into your hands I commit my spirit." And then he descended into, and there's many words for it, Sheol. It's not really hell, and I don't want to get into the distinctions here. Jesus, in the illustration he used, called it Abraham's bosom. Jesus, when he talked to the other prisoner who is dying with him, called it paradise. But it was where the dead were kept until the judgment day. This was not the judgment where the folks go who died. They went into like a holding tank. Apologize for the words. And are held there until the judgment. And so that's where Jesus went. We know that. And he probably spent the rest of the time there until the Father raised him. The disciples, on the other hand, got back together, we're told. They huddled, hidden, afraid, doors locked, stunned, disbelief. They couldn't believe it. Probably depressed. Probably like some of us who've lost loved ones recently, eyes filled with tears. And then Sunday morning dawns. We have an advantage, because when Sunday morning dawns, we know Jesus arose. Not so much with the followers of Jesus. We read about Mary in the garden, and she meets Jesus. She runs back to the disciples, and they don't believe her. But Peter and John run to the tomb, and they look in, and we read it this morning. They believed the body was gone, but the last verse that we read this morning, that was read to us this morning, says they didn't understand that he had risen. And we're also told in Matthew 28, Mark 16, and Luke 24 that another group of ladies went to the tomb. I don't exactly know the sequence of this, but I assume it's after Mary Magdalene went in the dark. Mary, the mother of James. And we assume that that's James the disciple, not James the brother of Jesus. Salome, Joanna, and other women went to the tomb with spices because they were going to anoint the body. Well, if Mary had already been there, why are they going? Remember, they didn't have text messaging. Everybody was kind of doing their own planning, and they saw too that it was empty, and they ran to the disciples, and the disciples didn't believe them. In fact, the disciples used these words to the ladies: "These are just idle tales." So they didn't believe him. And the postscript, again, that we read in John 20 this morning. And so then all of the disciples just went to their own homes. We don't know what to do. It's all over. And then later in the day, we have that account, my favorite story in all of the Bible is the two disciples on their way home. Two of them, we don't know which two, on the road to Emmaus. And this stranger joins them, and they begin to talk about what has happened. And this stranger feigns as if he didn't know, so he could get the conversation going. And then for the rest of the journey, from this book, the book of God, he relates to them all the Old Testament scriptures. And of course, they're listening to it. And if I was listening to it, I would be taking it all in intellectually, trying to figure it out. It's just what I do. They were probably doing the same thing. And then they get to the house, and the stranger starts to go on. And they say, no, no, it's getting dark. Just come in and have supper with us. Which was customary, by the way, to be kind to strangers you meet. And of course, by this time, they've created a bond in the scriptures and in the story. And we know the rest of the story. They had no clue who this was until this stranger takes the matzah, which is a unleavened piece of bread baked hard, and he broke it in front of them. The reason we know these two on the road to Emmaus were two of the disciples is because at the Last Supper, that's what Jesus did, and that's how they recognized him. He broke it and then disappeared. They didn't waste a second. They got back on the road, headed back, gathered the disciples together, and by now it's turning dark, close to evening. And they returned, and there again the disciples are all together, 10 of them, because Thomas wasn't there, and we know Judas wasn't there. And they're trying to discuss this and trying to find a way to make sense of it. And then we're told the doors are locked, no way of getting in. And then Jesus appears. And the scripture says what they believed is that they were seeing a ghost. And so Jesus, trying to help them through this to believe that he was alive, said, see my hands, see my feet, it's me. And to some extent, then, they believed. Ephesians chapter 1, starting with verse 17. My prayer for you and all of us in this fellowship who aren't here. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you may know What is the hope of his calling? What are the incredible riches of the glory of his inheritance in you, the saints? And what is the surpassing greatness of his power to those who believe? These things are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ Jesus. And we'll finish that passage in a second. But what I want to do this morning, and why I did the quick overview, is I would like to ask you to just walk with me for a few minutes and get beyond us. We are happy. We have been born again, those of us who have chosen to follow Jesus. We are happy that heaven awaits us, right? We're happy about a lot of things. We're happy about the gospel. What I'd like to ask us to do this morning is to look beyond ourselves and what we get out of this. And you say, Mike, what else is there? I mean, the whole game, the whole thing was about our salvation, right? No. The whole thing was not about our salvation. That's part of it. When Jesus says it is finished, he paid the price. The price has been paid for every single human being that has ever lived. The price has been paid. Everyone has been paid for. And like I mentioned before, all that's left is for people to choose from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. It's the only choice that's left. Everything else is paid for. And that's why we read over and over in the scriptures, Paul especially, in his writings. For the whole world, the message isn't about what's going wrong, what they're doing wrong, the sin that they're living in. The whole message to the world is choose Jesus. That's it. And some of you read the book, The Cross and the Switchblade. I'm dating myself. So many years ago, David Wilkerson and Nikki Cruz. That's what David Wilkerson said to Nikki Cruz. Your past isn't relevant. What your lifestyle is isn't relevant. Just choose Jesus. And Nikki Cruz's life was changed, and frankly, David Wilkerson's life and ministry was changed at that moment, and some of you know the rest of that story. So Jesus finished it, the redemption, but it's not over. So I want to ask you to think with me. What if there was no resurrection? Jesus is in Hades, Sheol, Abraham's bosom, paradise. No resurrection, Jesus is stuck there forever. And we're stuck there forever. The redemption has been made complete. But there's nothing after if there's no resurrection. And God the Father up in heaven He's been alone for 33 years while his son has been on earth. If there's no resurrection, he's alone for the rest of eternity. What does he do? I've got to fix this. Let's do it all over again. Oh, I can't. My son, my only son, is gone. I have no other son to send. Dismal. And so God decided, long time before that, I am going to raise my son from the dead. And when I do that, everything changes. We've heard the news. The New Testament is different from the Old Testament. There's more good news. The resurrection changes everything. Let me read on in Ephesians chapter 1, which he brought about in Christ, which God brought about in Christ when he, God the Father, raised his only Son from the dead. And this is what happened. The Father raised his only Son from the dead and seated him at his right hand in heaven, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things in subjection under his Son's feet, and gave his Son as head over all things to us, the Ecclesia, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. I don't know if you'll get this or not, but at the point of the resurrection, God finally had eternity in his hands. That seems funny, doesn't it? What does that mean? All through the Old Testament, God is struggling with his people, wanting his people to follow him. They don't. Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, they don't. It's all failure after failure after failure. Jesus spends 3.5 years with the disciples. And they're just a bunch of knotheads, just like us, by the way. So when Jesus is arrested, what are we told? They all leave him. Failure after failure after failure. When is God going to be able to reach out and grab eternity and it will never be gone from him again? No more failure. That's the resurrection. That is the stamp. Why did God the Father raise Jesus from the dead? It was the stamp of approval of Jesus' life, completing the mission. True. Very true. But it's more than that. The resurrection of Jesus was God the Father. And I'll try to get through this. looking down at his son, his only son. And you parents know this, probably felt this. There is no way I am going to spend the rest of eternity without my son with me. Maybe you don't believe in the resurrection. Maybe you're like the disciples. It's just too hard to believe. Well, if it's too hard to believe, just try believing this. God loved his son so much that there was no way he was going to leave him. And so he had to go get him. And so we stand here today on Resurrection Sunday, celebrating what we got. I want us to celebrate what God got out of the deal. And we'll probably never fully understand it till we get there and we see the Father and the Son together. And then we get the side effect of being able to be there too with our Father and with our Lord and with our loved ones. Amen.
Thank you, Mike, for that reminder of what it will be like to spend eternity with God and with Jesus. Resurrection Sunday. Please turn to hymn number 258, and when you find it, stand. Christ the Lord is risen today.
Creation joins to say.
turn to one another as we sing the blessing this morning. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious, gracious, gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Amen.
Soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I'll worship your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes.
The future of your business is here. With Wix, you get advanced AI capabilities for more customization, more time.
I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. The goodness of God. mercy of the goodness of God. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul. I'll worship Your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawn. It's time to sing Your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul. I'll worship Your holy name. Your